Please take your Bibles, and we're going to turn to the Gospel of John for our scripture reading. John's Gospel, and to chapter 19, please. John's Gospel, chapter 19, and we'll commence reading at verse 28. Verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ has just committed his mother to the keeping of John, the beloved disciple. And we read John chapter 19 in the verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. We'll end our reading there at verse 37. And we know God always blesses the public reading of his precious word. Turn back with me, please, to John's Gospel and to the chapter 19. Chapter 19 of John's Gospel. And it's a little phrase that will be so familiar to so many, if not all, that we find in verse 30. Verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It is finished. With the Word of God open before us, let's seek His help, please, in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come now to Thy Word, we ask, O God, for the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need Thee. Lord, we stand in great need of Thy help today. O God, we cannot, we dare not seek to preach Thy word in our own strength, for Lord, it will all be in vain. But, O God, we pray that You'll attend to the preaching of the word of God by Thy Spirit. Teach us, we ask of Thee. Instruct us out of Thy word. Lord, charm our hearts today as we come to the cross. Lift our eyes to see our Savior once again. And, O God, we pray that You'll turn the gaze of sinners in this meeting away from the things of this world and turn them to the Savior. Lord, give us help to preach. Give us help, each one, to hear. O God, we pray that You'll give Spirit-filled preaching and Spirit-anointed hearing. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask it in Thy name and for Thy sake. Amen. Amen. Throughout the history of humanity, there have been those who will always be remembered for their great skills of oratory and speech. Those who have been able to speak with great power and great authority. And as a result, they've been able to hold the attention of their audience. Perhaps others who have just not had the same skills of speech, yet what they've had to say has just been as important. And many of them are written down and quoted in the pages of our history books. I searched on the internet to see what, according to the world, were some of the most memorable speeches. According to Time magazine, some of the most memorable speeches rank among these. There was the speech delivered by Martin Luther King on the steps of Washington when he said, "I have a dream," where he spoke about his dream of an American society living in peace and harmony with each other. And also ranked amongst those 10 most memorable speeches, according to this magazine, was a speech delivered in June 1940 to the House of Commons by the then British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, when he rallied the troops and the nation in the midst of the Second World War. And he issued that rallying call, "We shall fight them on the beaches." Each of these speeches and many more have stood out in history as being pivotal in their particular period of time. However, today, I can say without fear of contradiction and without any hesitation that there was a far greater speech, a far more superior speech that this world has ever heard or indeed ever will hear. While many of those speeches that we have talked about went on perhaps for some period of time, yet the speech that I want to bring to your attention today was brief. In fact, it consisted in just one word. Because here in John chapter 19 and the verse 30, we have before us the greatest speech, the greatest word that has ever been spoken. In the original language, it is just one word: finished. Although it is translated here in our authorized version, "It is finished." It was spoken by our Savior, spoken by the Son of God, the promised Messiah, as he died on Calvary's cross. Because you see, everything that Christ has said up until this point, and everything that he will ever say after this point, hinges upon this one word. Never was a word so important. Never did a world lost and ruined in sin need to hear a word like this: finished. Upon this one word hinges the entire history of humanity and God's plan of redemption to save a people from sin. You will know that there were 7 cries in total from the cross. 7 cries that the Savior uttered. This was his 6th cry. And this, I believe, was his most important of all. Although this was not a cry of defeat, this was a cry of victory. Even though it was uttered just before he died, just before he gave up his life, this was a great shout of victory. You notice our translation says, "It is finished." It doesn't say, "I am finished." Christ is not saying that he is finished. Rather, the plan of redemption that he came to accomplish was finished in that place called Calvary. Oh, the sun, which had been hidden for 3 hours, now began to shine again. The dawn of a new day was appearing. As from the lips of our Savior, he cries out, not in weakness, but with a loud voice, "Finished." As we come to consider this little phrase today, I want us to consider what I've entitled, Christ's Cry of Victory. Christ's cry of victory. And I want us to see some things about this cry. I want you to notice, first of all, with me here, it's conquest over sin. It's conquest over sin. See, the persistent and the continual problem with mankind has been and always will be sin. By nature, we're born in sin through our descent from Adam. We've all sinned. As the Apostle Paul tells us, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. And the result of this sin is that it separates us from God. God is the offended party. He is the one who has been sinned against, and we are the offenders because of sin. Yet Christ came. Christ came into this world to bridge that gap between man and God. He came to be our mediator. He came to reconcile us to God, to save us from sin, and to save us from the penalty of sin, which is death. How did he accomplish it? Well, it was here on Calvary's cross. During those 3 hours of darkness, when the earth was veiled in blackness, God placed the sins of his people upon his dear Son. And Christ took our sin and took our guilt. He stood accused before God. He stood as the vilest of sinners. As he hung there on Calvary's cross, he was not innocent. He could not have died as being an innocent person. That would have gone against the whole justice of God. Rather, he died as the guilty. He who knew no sin. He, furthermore, who could not sin, yet grasped this, he became sin for us. Legally. Legally, he was the guilty party. During the hours of darkness, God turned his face away from his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ endured hell there upon the cross for sin. The wrath of God due for sin, the punishment that was due because of the breaking of God's law, fell upon Christ on the cross. Man had fallen into sin, broken the law of God, broken every commandment of God. Therefore, there had to be a punishment. And Christ stepped in to be our substitute, took that punishment upon himself. Oh, our finite minds can never really grasp, can never really understand what it meant for the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, took upon himself that form of human nature to die for sin. He felt every point and pain of sin as he stood condemned. God the Son. Think about it. God the Son forsaken by God the Father. What a mystery. What a mystery that's really beyond our comprehension. But praise God, what a truth. Oh, we couldn't pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. The Lord Jesus Christ was, as Isaiah tells us, cut off out of the land of the living. As he became sin for us, as he paid the price for that sin. And moment by moment, he pours his soul out unto death as he pays the penalty for sin, until it is completed. When sin has been atoned for, he gives this cry of victory, finished. because sin had been conquered. The great scheme of redemption had been completed. The power of Satan had been destroyed. The seed of the woman had bruised the head of the serpent. And he lifts his gaze to his father and he cries out, "Finished! The work you have given me to do, the task of paying the price for sin, it's now completed. The payment has been made. The work that you sent me into this world to do, to destroy sin, praise God, it's been accomplished. Sin no longer hath dominion. And Satan's power is broken down. He hath triumphed, hallelujah. And he wears the victor's crown, all because he cried out, finished." All the ceremonies, all the rituals of the old law, they're gone, they're redundant. All they could never save. They were only a means of pointing men and women to this great time, this great period in history. All the efforts of man could never destroy sin. Never wash their sin away. But the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross could, and praise God it did, as he cried out, "Finished." His sacrifice was enough. His death was sufficient. It need not be repeated. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 26, the apostle tells us, "But now, once in the end of the world," the end of the world there is a reference to the Old Testament age, "the end of the world hath he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "appeared." What to do? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Paul's testimony, Christ came to put away sin. Literally, it means to cancel it out, to destroy it, to bring it to nothing. And that's exactly what's in the mind of the Savior, I believe, as he cries out there, "Finished." Sin's power has been cancelled. The snare of sin has been broken. The chains that have bound sinners to their sin, praise God, they're being destroyed. And the captive goes free. Oh, Satan. Satan sought at every opportunity to keep Christ from the cross. We don't have time to go into all the times when he tried to hinder the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the cross. Oh, he knew his power was under threat. And so he attempts to keep Christ from the cross, but nothing was going to keep our Savior from going to Calvary. We read that he set, as it were, his face a flint to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because he knew he had to pay the price of sin. You know, that's all the more remarkable when, as we'll see in a moment, he knew exactly all that was ahead of him. The great, all-knowing God knew exactly the pain and the suffering he'd have to go through, yet still he went in order to save filthy sinners like I from sin. His work was complete at the cross. Salvation had been attained. Oh, unlike the Old Testament priests, their work was never done. They continually, year after year, week after week, offered sacrifices. But this man made one sacrifice for sin forever and sat down. Not because he was tired, praise God, because he was finished. His work was completed. Satan, his power, had been destroyed. The sting of death for the believer been removed. It's conquest over sin, but I want you to see further with me here in this cry of victory. It's completion of suffering. It's completion of suffering. You see, right from the very moment that the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into this world, when he left behind the splendors of his Father in heaven, and he came into this world as a little babe in Bethlehem's manger, he lived a life of suffering and humiliation. Even his very entrance into this world was one of humiliation. Think of it. The King of glory, the Lord of all, humbling himself to become servant of man. What suffering, what humiliation. He suffered throughout his entire life. He hungered, he thirsted, he grew weary. He was even sustained by the angels, his very own created being. He suffered every emotion known to man. Yet as he nears the cross, as he comes to that point when he knows he's going to give his life, his sufferings increase and they intensify. Remember in the garden? The garden there where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he cried out, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." As we said a moment ago, he knew exactly all that was ahead of him. He knew what he would have to endure as he would bear away sin. And then when we come to the cross itself, Christ suffered like no other has ever suffered or ever will suffer. In verse 28, he cried out, "I thirst." I tell you, no man ever thirsted or ever will thirst like the Savior thirsted. There is no human parallel for such sufferings. They are unique to him. He was wounded, bruised, afflicted, scourged, beaten, spat upon, mocked. The creation of God, man, railing upon the Creator God on the cross. Yet when man had done his worst, there was greater suffering. Because all the inhumane actions of the Roman soldiers pales into insignificance when we consider God the Father lifts the rod of divine wrath and places it there upon his Son, and he becomes sin for us. He literally endures hell on the cross for us. When our sins are made over to Christ's account, when our guilt and our punishment for sin becomes his to endure and to pay, as he was counted among the transgressors, as he bore the sins of many, and as he cries out in agony from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, truly he could be termed, as we were singing, the man of sorrows. He gave his back to the smiters. He gave his cheeks to those who plucked off his hair. Oh, I tell you today, no Hollywood film, no matter how many millions of pounds are thrown at it, no Hollywood film will ever be able to portray the sufferings of Jesus Christ. But now they're finished. His sufferings are over as he cries out, "Finished." The period of his humiliation is past. No longer the man of sorrows, but praise God now, the victor. Having conquered sin, death, and hell, having put away sin, he puts an end to his suffering. The storm of suffering is gone. He drained the last dreg of that cup of suffering and cried out, "Finished." It's conquest over sin. It's completion of suffering. But I want you to see in this little phrase, this cry of Christ, it's comfort for the saint. There's comfort in these words today. This one word, this sixth cry of Christ from the cross, oh, it was a cry of victory. It was a cry of comfort, but it's the greatest word of encouragement the child of God will ever need. You see, to every saved soul, everyone in this meeting today, who by faith have turned from their sin, realized their awful lost condition, this is the sweetest word to the believer's heart. Yes, it was a word, as we said earlier, spoken first of all to God the Father, as he declared the plan of redemption was complete, but it was also a word spoken to mankind. And to every believer, this is a word to you today. To the saint of God, this is a word to you today. It's a word of comfort because it guarantees our salvation. Christ has defeated sin. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross conquered sin. And all those who by faith have trusted Jesus Christ are redeemed today, are in Christ. We're depending on him for salvation. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking to a church. We're looking to Jesus Christ. We're brought out of the prison house of sin, and we've been brought into the light, into the liberty of the gospel. Our faith today is in the merits of Christ and his finished work. We're brought into union with Jesus Christ. We're justified in him. We're redeemed in him. We're united in Christ. Christ was accepted by the Father. His sacrifice was accepted. And because we're in Christ, we're accepted as well. We're accepted in Christ today. Our sin, our guilt, our punishment, all gone because Christ cried, "Finished." By his death and blood shedding, he removed forever and completely the stain and the guilt of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ shed in Calvary, praise God, cleanses from all sin. As Peter says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And there's power in the blood. There's sin-destroying power in the blood, but there's also life in the blood. We've got a new life in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is guaranteed. Our sins were made over to Christ's account on the cross. He paid it in full. And my account is clear today. All because he cried out, "Finished." The merits of his death are imputed to us. They're made over to us. They're given to us. We receive it by faith. And I can say today, the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah said, "Can you?" This righteousness, this finished work of Christ, has been made over to me. It's made over to every believer today, not because of who or what we are, but because Christ is accepted. Oh, the old devil will come and he'll try to throw up our past. And perhaps even this past week he's come to you and he said, do you remember those sins you committed? And he tries to undermine your salvation. He tries to make you doubt. But praise God, what though the accuser roar, of ills that I have done, I know them well, and thousands more, Jehovah findeth none. Because we're saved, made right in Christ. Saved not just for time, but praise God, for all eternity. Christ is our great high priest, offered himself a sacrifice here on Calvary's cross, but furthermore, he rose again. He ascended back to his Father in heaven, and he's ever praying for us. And he answers every accusation of Satan. He presents himself before his Father. The old devil comes, maybe to you, dear child of God. And because of some sin, he says, oh, you're finished. You just repeat back to him the words of the Savior. It is finished. I'm complete in Christ. I'm saved. My sins are washed away. It guarantees our salvation. It guarantees our glorification. Because one day when we leave this world behind and we open them in God's heaven, we're no longer living by faith, but praise God, living by sight. We'll be where he is one day. And that's the blessed assurance of every believer. That's the blessed hope of every child of God. Christ entered back into heaven by his own blood. And that's our entrance to heaven as well, by the blood of Jesus Christ. As he entered back into heaven, as Paul tells us, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us, he wasn't rejected. He wasn't turned away. And neither will we. Because we enter heaven on the same grounds. Our names are written there. And one day we'll be there. This is just not something we are hoping about. This is just not something that I'm trusting will all work out. I have an assurance in my heart that one day I'll be in heaven because Christ cried finished. We stand today in the victory of the cross. Oh, we do not fight for victory. That's already been attained. But rather, child of God, we want not to be living in the victory. And sharing in that word of triumph. Oh, what comfort this one word brings to every child of God. But as we close, I want us to see its challenge for the sinner. This cry of victory, I want you to see its challenge for the sinner. Unsaved one in this meeting today. You're here without Jesus Christ. What is it that you need for salvation? What is it that you need to get you into heaven? What is it that you need to assure you of life after death? It's Christ. And it's Christ alone. His death is sufficient. Sinner, he is all you need. It's not a church that will save you. It's not this church that'll save you. It's not your baptism that'll save you. It's not your confirmation that'll save you. All you need today, sinner, is Jesus Christ. He is sufficient. You need no other argument. And you need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And that he died for me. What are you depending on today to get you to heaven? What are you depending on today to wash your sin away? You trying to work your way there? Oh, maybe you think because you come to Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, perhaps brought up in this church, thank God for it. Or perhaps parents are saved. And you think that's enough. You need to come. And you need to come yourself and be saved. You need to come to Jesus Christ. You need to trust his finished work. And he's promised he will save you. And today we cry as John the Baptist cried all those years ago, behold, turn your eyes away from the things of this world and turn your eyes to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sinner, you need Jesus Christ today. And if you don't have him, then you'll perish in your sin. Praise God, the invitation of the gospel still stands. Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You come to Jesus Christ today. He'll save you. And he'll save you gladly. Him that cometh. You come. I'll in no wise cast out. Will you come? Will you leave your sin behind? Come today and be saved. But a powerful message was delivered by Christ that day on Calvary's cross. Just one word. Christ's cry of victory. It's conquest over sin. Sin's been conquered. It completed his suffering. It comforts the saint because we're assured of salvation. We're assured of heaven. It challenges the sinner today. May that word bring encouragement to every believer as we struggle through our life. And may it bring a challenge to every sinner that today you might see your need and see the sufficiency of Christ to meet that need. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer.